Local people, local stories. This is the All Local from 1010 Winds.
I'm Larry Mullins, and here are today's top local stories.
The new state budget is on the table. Yay! It's not signed, it's not definite or anything, but it is on the table. The safety is on the top of Governor Hochul's mind-breaking budget, down where the money is going and how she plans to make the city and state safer overall. The governor did a full court press and went so far as to say the budget is late by more than 30 days, but there's an agreement on the table and that she and lawmakers think they got something here. Here's Mary Lynn Buckley.
The new state budget is now out, and Governor Hochul says they're cracking down on social media platforms, along with AI, that's targeting minors.
We'll block direct messages from unknown adults to minors. We'll disable harmful AI chat interactions.
In addition to online safety, Governor Hochul says drivers on the road that continue to drive recklessly will have serious consequences.
Rack up 16 or more speed camera tickets in a year. They will be now required to install speed limiting devices in their vehicles.
And first in the nation technology that will ensure every 3D printer sold statewide that would block it from printing a ghost gun. Mary Lynn Buckley, 1010 Winds on 92.3 FM in Lower Manhattan.
Well, Winds family, as the little guy on the late night TV commercials would say, but wait, for $19.99 you can get two headlines. Will you listen to this from Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie?
There's no budget deal. There's no deal.
Oh, my goodness. He says, I don't know what she's talking about, but we're not close on anything. And there's no budget on the table that's waiting on the ink to dry. Not even close. The governor has said the budget agreement included something about a pied-à-terre tax on luxury second homes, investments in universal child care, more money for cops on the subway. But Hastie says, and I quote, I don't care what the governor says. There's no budget deal. He told reporters, I think she jumped the gun. Family, I think we've got a disconnect. Stay tuned. We're waiting to hear more here. Three men facing charges today for allegedly pulling off an armed hijacking and making off with over $1 million worth of apples. Make that Apple products. Prosecutors say back in January, the trio pulled guns on two workers who were about to deliver iPhones, iPads, MacBooks, iIdeas, Apple Watches, anything as to an Apple store at the Americana Manhasset Mall on Long Island. They allegedly zip-tied one guy's hands, then forced the other to drive the delivery truck to a secluded area where they had a box truck waiting. They unloaded all the Apple items, then brought them to a storage unit in New Jersey before they were caught. All that work for nothing. Now, they each face up to 30 years behind bars. Cops searching for the person still, though, who shot a guy in broad daylight today in the East Village. The shots rang out just before 10 o'clock. This is near Avenue D and East 7th Street. Cops say they found the 38-year-old man with gunshot wounds to the chest and arm and rushed him to the hospital. He is expected to be okay. It's unclear what led up to this shooting or whether the victim knew his attacker. That investigation is ongoing. In other news, on this Thursday, the city wants to treat addiction now with the funds taken from the opioid manufacturers that profited off the crisis. Mayor Mamdani announced a $12 million investment today in a new initiative to help struggling New Yorkers on the path to recovery.
It's called peer-to-peer recovery, someone who recovered from addiction helping someone else to do the same. Mayor Mamdani says it's a unique way to get drug addicts back on track.
Peer specialists offer something no other provider can, the credibility of a shared experience and evidence that recovery is possible.
Health Commissioner Alastair Martin says former substance abusers retrace their own steps to recovery and bring someone back with them.
This money will go towards helping deploy 500 more peers.
It's one of the tools to help the city keep reducing overdose deaths after a 29% drop in 2024. Mac Rosenberg, 1010 Winds on 92.3 FM.
Demolition work underway now in Belleville, New Jersey, several days after a massive warehouse fire caused evacuations and schools sitting empty. Overnight, firefighters knocked out a small spot fire that flared up again from within the rubble. It's been around-the-clock operations, actually, ever since the initial fire broke out on Sunday. The Belleville School District has kids doing virtual class today, and that'll continue tomorrow as crews demolish the damaged buildings. And they do testing on the air quality. The mayor previously said initial testing showed normal oxygen levels. Dozens of residents, though, remain displaced, while others were forced out of their homes due to gas and water being shut off. Update now to a story we told you about this week on a deadly stabbing near Times Square. Police have now arrested a 17-year-old, charging him with murder. They arrested him after he was stopped jumping a subway turnstile at the Coney Island Stillwell Avenue station over in Brooklyn. Had a scalpel on him, they say, at the time of his arrest. The violence unfolded Monday night just steps away from the Stephen Sondheim Theater. Cops say 39-year-old Leonidas Baez from Massachusetts was stabbed repeatedly, pronounced dead at the hospital. Investigators believe there was some kind of a dust-up prior to the attack involving at least three people. It's unclear whether cops are looking for anybody else. On a much brighter note involving our teens, a pair of twin brothers on Long Island, I love this story, not only get to graduate together this spring, they also happen to be the top two students in their class.
The parents of John, the valedictorian, and Joseph Gomes, the salutatorian, said the twins never had to be told to do their homework, and they always studied. And now that hard work has paid off at Chaminade High School.
I think it's been a very valuable support system. I think we push each other.
And they will go step by step into their next chapter, both attending Brown University.
I'm interested in international and public affairs. At Brown, I'm looking to concentrate in environmental engineering. So I hope to work in either clean water.
This is the first time in Chaminade's history that twins took the two top spots. Sophia Hall, 1010 Winds on 92.3 FM on Long Island.
Congratulations to the twins and even more congratulations to Mama, because you can imagine what it took to get those boys out of school and get them through that all. That's all right. That's a good one there. And I can't say it enough. The Knicks are headed to Philly for Game 3 tomorrow, everybody, and you already know some Knicks fans are hoping to attend the game and have already made plans, in fact. But the Sixers say, not so fast. We want our fans here. Joel Embiid was telling their fans, we need you to help us, keep this thing going. Don't sell us out. The team announced tickets, listen to this, for games played at Xfinity, the arena there, will be restricted to residents of the greater Philadelphia area. Ha, ha, R-D-R-R. That's in an effort to make sure locals can get in. They say it's all about blocking scalpers miles and miles away, New York fans, from buying up tickets and flipping them. But some folks are trying to get around the Philly-only rule by just buying the tickets on the secondary market, like on, StubHub or whatever. As of today, tickets for Game 3 on StubHub started at $220 in the upper deck, the nosebleed seats, and topped $1,000 in the lower bowl. The Knicks are currently 2-0 in the series, but you've probably heard the news, though. OG Anunoby probably going to be out with a hammy injury. They say our bench is deep enough, though, to deal with anything they throw at us, and especially if Joel Embiid is still out with an ankle injury. So we'll just see what happens. I say the Knicks take it in four games, but that's just me.
Scott Stanford for Serta Pro Painters. If the thought of sprucing up your house...
Well, after weeks of outcry now over the $150 price tag on an NJ Transit ticket to the World Cup to get there, transit officials officially dropping the cost to $105. Ooh! They say that's about a 30% decrease, but folks are going, and in a statement, NJT notes that Governor Mikey Sherrill, has committed to not imposing any financial burden on commuters and taxpayers for FIFA-related transportation costs. So she directed the agency to find private sponsorships and other sources to reduce the cost of the ticket. Statement goes on to say they're pleased to have found a way to reduce the price. NJ Transit tickets will go on sale for World Cup ticket holders next Friday, May the 13th. That's Wednesday, I think, actually. A Long Island man accused of identity theft for allegedly posing as his ex-business partner, canceling his upcoming vacation. Police say the victim arrived at JFK in March for his flight to Aruba, told by airport staff, that trip's been canceled. Investigation revealed that the man's former business partner, ID'd as Ronald Fisher, allegedly contacted the travel agency, impersonated the victim, using his personal information to cancel the trip, causing a loss of $4,200. Fisher turned himself in this morning.
Thanks for listening to the All Local from 1010 Winds. And for the latest news, traffic, and weather, tune to 1010 Winds, visit 1010winds.com, or download the Odyssey app to take us wherever you go.